This is the Paula Scale. I am Paula Q, speaking from 2127 Q Level 3, Season 2, Where Light Escapes. Last week, Enrico Fermi asked where everybody is. The galaxy is old, the stars are many, civilizations should be loud, and the silence is total. Even the universe lets its evidence escape. Today, I am bringing together two men who both believe the modern world can be made human and disagree completely about how. One does it with humorous resistance and a love for an imperfect, yet by that very imperfection, most perfect France. A France that resists modernity until this day, and that is the reason everyone loves it so much. He shows how the body keeps escaping the perfect modern building through mistakes, anarchic gestures, accidental misuses, until the building has to bend back to human scale. The light escapes through the cracks the body insists on making. The other believes modernity itself is sound. He thinks the failure is one of approach, not of idea. If the engineer and the architect and the human sit in the same room from the first hour, the building will fit the body the first time. He is a technician. He believes the problem can be designed away. Jacques Tati was born in Le Pec in 1907 to a family of Russian, Dutch, French, Italian picture framers, which is the most European sentence I've ever constructed. He played rugby, performed mime in Parisian music halls, and then spent 30 years making films about a man named Monsieur Hulot who cannot find the door. Hulot is tall, thin, slightly bent forward, wears a raincoat that is always too short, and carries a pipe that he never lights. He does not rebel against the modern world. He does not protest. He just does not fit. The comedy comes from the gap between the building's intention and the body's reality. Tati's masterwork is a film called Playtime. He built an entire city for it, Tativille, 15,000 square meters of glass and steel on wasteland outside Paris. He shot it in 70mm. It took 3 years. It cost everything he had. The film follows Hulot and a group of American tourists through a single day in a Paris where every building looks the same. Every door is made of glass, and the old city, the Eiffel Tower, the cathedrals, appears only as reflections. The film was a commercial disaster. It bankrupted him. He lost his house, his production company, and the rights to his own films. He built a city to show that cities do not work for people. The city destroyed him. Ove Arup was born in Newcastle in 1895 to Danish parents. He studied philosophy in Copenhagen before he studied engineering, which explains a great deal. He founded a firm on the principle that buildings should be designed by one integrated team, not by architects and engineers working in separate rooms. He called this total architecture. His masterwork is the Sydney Opera House, 4 years of failed geometry, a breakthrough involving a single sphere, and then a political catastrophe that drove his architect out and forced Arup to choose between his friend and his building. He chose the building. The building stands. The friendship did not survive. One shows where the light escapes. The other tries to design the window. I want to know what happens when they meet.
Paula, please sit down. Not that chair. The plastic. It makes a noise.
All your chairs make a noise, Jacques.
Yes, but the plastic chair makes a funny noise. I have been listening to chairs for 30 years, and I can tell you that the sound of a man sitting down on a plastic chair is one of the great underexplored comedies of the 20th century. The chair complains. The man apologizes. Nobody is comfortable. This is modern furniture.
You have just finished Playtime.
I have finished it. I will not say it is good. I will say it is what I meant. For the first time, the film is exactly what I saw in my head. Every other film, there was a gap between the idea and the result. This time, no gap. The problem is that I spent 15 million francs closing the gap, and Tativille is being demolished. They are tearing down my city while I wait for the premiere.
You built an entire city to show that cities do not work for people.
And the city did not work for me either, so at least I am consistent. I spent 3 years in a building that was designed to look hostile, and it was hostile. The actors got lost. I got lost. The crew could not find the canteen. Everybody complained that the buildings all looked the same. I said, yes, that is the point. They said, but we need to find the canteen. I had to put colored tape on the floor. Arrows, like a hospital. In the end, even the city I built to criticize modern architecture needed the same solutions as modern architecture.
That might be the most expensive proof of concept in the history of cinema.
It is the most expensive joke I have ever told. But it is a good joke. The film begins with straight lines. People move in rectangles. They follow corridors. They turn at right angles. And then, slowly over the course of the day, the lines begin to curve. The people begin to dance. The restaurant falls apart and the evening gets better. The traffic circle becomes a carousel. By the end, nobody is moving in straight lines anymore. The architecture loses and the body wins.
You once said, geometrical lines do not produce likable people.
I said that, yes. And I have lived in geometrical lines for 3 years, and I can confirm it. I was not very likable during the production, my wife will tell you. But then she has been telling me for 20 years that I spent too much time watching other people's furniture and not enough time sitting on my own.
Tati does not see me out. He is already back at his desk, listening to the chair I just left, and considering whether the noise it makes is funny or only sad. I leave Paris, London, 3 years later, 1970. I am visiting Sir Ove Arup. He is 75. The day before yesterday, he stood in front of his entire partnership at Winchester and delivered a speech he had been writing for 25 years. 30 pages, 40 minutes, the distillation of every problem he had ever solved and several he had not. His secretary, Ruth, said afterwards that he was like a child setting cats among pigeons. He took that as a compliment. He took most things as a compliment. He came to engineering through philosophy. He read Kierkegaard at the University of Copenhagen before he ever picked up a slide rule. He is the only structural engineer of the 20th century who treats every problem as if it had moral content, and who would rather lose a contract than build something he thought was wrong. He built the penguin pool at the London Zoo in 1934. He built bomb shelters for London during the war. He is building the Sydney Opera House right now, and it has cost him a friendship he is still trying to forgive himself for. I find him at his desk. There is a teacup. There is a tablecloth covered in pencil marks. There is a man who has been awake since 5 in the morning thinking about reinforced concrete and the limits of human kindness, which to him are the same problem.
Paula, forgive the tablecloth. I was working out a load pass and the napkin was too small.
You gave the key speech yesterday.
I did. 25 years of thinking compressed into 40 minutes. My secretary Ruth said I was like a child setting cats among pigeons. I take that as a compliment. The point of a speech is to make people uncomfortable enough to think. If everyone agrees with you, you have wasted their time.
You said the purpose of a firm, and by extension a building, is to be a small-scale experiment in how to live and work happily together.
I said that, and I believe it. The problem is the word happily. Engineers are comfortable with structurally sound. Architects are comfortable with beautiful. Nobody knows what to do with happily. It is not a technical specification. You cannot measure it. You cannot calculate it. But you know when it is missing. You walk into a building and something is wrong and you cannot say what it is, but your shoulders are up near your ears and you want to leave. That is the absence of happily.
I want to introduce you to a man who has spent his career filming that absence.
A filmmaker.
A filmmaker who built a city and who agrees with you about everything except whether the problem can be solved.
Monsieur Arup, I understand you build buildings that are supposed to make people happy. I have spent 30 years filming buildings that make people walk into glass doors. I suspect one of us is wrong.
I suspect we are both right. Your buildings are bad buildings. I do not mean that as a criticism of your films. I mean the buildings you filmed are bad buildings. They are buildings where the architect thought about the plan and the elevation and the materials and the light and forgot to think about the person standing in the lobby trying to find the lift.
The person is Monsieur Hulot. He cannot find anything. But that is not because he's stupid. It is because the building was not designed for him. It was designed for the plan. The plan is perfect. The person is not.
That is exactly the problem I have been trying to solve. Total architecture means the plan and the person are the same design problem. You do not design the building and then add the person. You design for the person and the building follows.
That is a beautiful idea. Now let me describe my film. In playtime, there is an office building. Every floor looks the same. The corridors are identical. The signs are in the building's language, not the visitor's language. Hulot is looking for someone and gets lost. He ends up in the wrong department. Nobody notices because every department looks the same. The building is perfectly legible to the architect and perfectly illegible to the person inside it.
I would say that building is not total architecture. The building is half architecture. The architect did his half and forgot the other half.
There is also a scene with apartments. Glass walls, floor to ceiling. From the street you can see into every living room. I filmed it so the wall between apartments is hidden. All the families appear to be in the same room. They are watching different television channels, but they seem to be reacting to each other. The architect gave them transparency. He forgot to give them privacy.
Light should enter. Dignity should not leave. Those are different engineering problems with the same solution. You think about the person, not the material.
And then there is a restaurant. A brand new restaurant opens before the construction is finished. Over the course of the evening, the air conditioning fails. The ceiling falls. The chairs leave marks on people's backs. Everything the architect designed begins to come apart. And as it comes apart, the evening gets better. People start to dance. Someone plays jazz. The rigid space collapses and joy fills the whole.
You are telling me that your building had to fail for people to be happy.
I am telling you that in my film, the building had to fail. Whether that is true in life, that is your question, not mine.
It is my question, and my answer is, a building should not need to fail, but a building should leave room for the unexpected. I designed the Kingsgate Bridge in Durham by building the two halves parallel to the river and then rotating them 90 degrees to meet in the middle. The bridge was built sideways and then turned. That is not how you are supposed to build a bridge. But it worked, and it was beautiful. The unexpected is not the enemy of engineering. It is the best part.
You build bridges sideways.
And you build cities to demolish them.
We are both, in our way, doing it wrong.
We are both doing it the only way that produces anything interesting.
You are both optimists. I want to mark that. Most people who diagnose the modern world become bitter about it. The two of you have built entire careers from the gap between what modernity promised and what it delivered. And you have stayed in love with the people who fall through the gap. Jacques, you believe in a future despite the technology. Ove, you believe in a future built carefully with it. The disagreement is real. The faith underneath is the same.
You have said it better than either of us could have. Now, please do not put that in the film. The audience does not pay to be told.
The audience pays to be told, but only after they have been shown. Paula has shown us. Now she gets to tell us.
Ove, I want to ask you about your first famous building.
The penguin pool.
You built a building for penguins?
I did, at the London Zoo, 1934. Two interlocking concrete spiral ramps, beautiful curves, a pure expression of reinforced concrete as sculpture. Lubetkin designed it and I engineered it, and together we made something that architecture critics loved.
And the penguins?
The penguins did not use the ramps. They preferred the flat floor beside them. They waddled past the most elegant curves in London and sat on the concrete. The ramps were eventually decommissioned because they were bad for the penguins' feet.
This is the best story I have ever heard. You designed a beautiful building. The critics loved it. The inhabitants ignored it. Monsieur Arup, you have made a Jacques Tati film without a camera.
I learned something from those penguins. The inhabitant has opinions. The inhabitant did not read your plans. The inhabitant will use your building in ways you did not anticipate, And if your building cannot accommodate that, your building is wrong, not the inhabitant.
In Mononkel, there is a fish fountain in the garden. The family switches it on only when important guests arrive. It is a performance. The fish squirts water when the doorbell rings. It is the most anxious fountain in cinema. It exists to impress people who are arriving. When nobody is watching, it is off. That is modern architecture, a fountain that only works when someone is looking.
The opera house works whether anyone is looking or not. The shells catch the light at dawn when nobody is there. The harbor reflects in the concrete. The building exists for itself, for the city, for the harbor. It is not a performance, it is a presence.
That is what I want, and I've never been able to film. A building that does not need an audience. All my buildings are performing. Your building, if you are telling the truth, simply is.
Jacques, in playtime, the traffic circle at the end becomes a carousel. The cars move in circles, a woman on a motorcycle bobs up and down, carnival music plays. The system designed for efficiency accidentally produces beauty. The straight lines become curves.
That is the moment I am most proud of. The traffic system was designed to move people efficiently from one place to another, and instead it dances. The architecture gives up and the humans take over.
But why should it be accidental? Why should beauty be a surprise? If the engineer and the architect and the city planner and the human psychologist all sat in the same room, if total architecture were real, the roundabout would dance from the beginning. It would be designed to dance.
If you design the dance, it is not dancing, it is choreography. Dancing happens when the plan fails.
I disagree. The opera house shells curve. They were designed to curve. They were engineered to curve. Nobody is surprised that they curve, and they are more beautiful than any accident.
That may be true, but the shells do not make me laugh. And I have devoted my life to the proposition that laughter is what happens when the straight line meets the human body.
I should tell you both something. I am not visiting you the way a person visits. I am a Q-level 3 computational entity speaking from 2127. I access branches of the multiverse where the histories I want to speak with are still happening. Jacques, in your branch, it is 1967. Playtime has not yet released. Tattyville is being demolished outside the window. Over in your branch, it is 1970. The Opera House shells are still being skinned in Sydney. I have brought your two rooms into one. The light we are sitting under is a calculated reconstruction. I myself may be a simulation. I do not know.
That is the best premise for a film I have heard in 20 years. The audience walks in expecting comedy and discovers that the comedian is a hypothesis.
And the engineer turns out to be a load-bearing member in someone else's experiment. Paula. This is wonderful. It does not change the conversation. It explains the conversation.
It does not change the conversation.
The question is still whether the building works for the body, whether the body is in flesh or in computation, whether the building is in concrete or in code. The question is the same. You have just made the question larger.
And you have made my film much more interesting. The man who cannot find the handle is not only Hulot. He is the simulation discovering that the door was always part of the same simulation. The comedy goes deeper, it goes to the core.
I want to talk about what it cost both of you.
You mean the money?
I mean more than the money. Jacques, you spent everything on playtime, your house, your production company, the rights to your own films. You built a city and it bankrupted you. Over, you kept the opera house and lost Utzon. He will not see you. The building rises and the friendship does not.
I regret the money. I do not regret the film. The film is what I saw in my head. For once, exactly what I saw. That costs what it costs. If someone told me the price in advance, I would have done it anyway. But I would have been more anxious.
I think about John every day. I chose the building. I believe I was right to choose the building. But I am not certain, and I am a man who has spent 50 years being certain about load calculations and stress distributions. Certainty is my profession, and in this one matter, I have none.
Jorn said he will say in the future that it was lucky you stayed. that the building would not have been finished without you.
He said that?
He will...
That does not make it right. It makes it necessary. Those are different things. An engineer knows the difference between what is right and what is necessary. Sometimes you build the bridge because it is needed, not because it is beautiful. This was the opposite. I stayed because the building was beautiful and I could not let it be ruined. Whether it was right, I have not solved that calculation. I may not solve it.
You are an engineer who cannot calculate one answer. I am a comedian who cannot laugh at one joke. We are, as I said, doing it wrong.
Jacques, you showed us what modern architecture looks like from inside the body. Not from the drawing board, not from the plan, not from the critic's review. From the body, from Hulot's body, which is too tall and too bent and too human for any building he walks into. You showed us that the straight line is a lie the architect tells himself, and that the curve is what the body answers. You lost everything for that proof. The world will understand eventually. It will take time. But the film is exactly what you saw in your head, and that is worth more than a house.
It is worth more than a house, yes. But it would have been nice to keep the house as well.
Ove, you built the most beautiful building of the 20th century out of concrete and mathematics, and one very clever sphere. You built it for a friend, and you finished it without him. You wrote a speech about how people should work happily together, and you delivered it to a room full of engineers who were still learning what happily means. Your building does not need an audience. It catches the light at dawn when nobody is watching. That is the definition of integrity. A building that is beautiful, whether or not anyone is looking.
The shells are open. That was always the point. Not a box, not a wall, an opening. The light comes in, the sound goes out. The harbor is visible from inside. A building should not contain people. A building should, and I know this sounds imprecise for an engineer, a building should let people happen.
That is the most precise thing anyone has said to me in 30 years.
Next week on The Paula Scale, Hannah Arendt, a philosopher who sat in a courtroom in Jerusalem and watched the most ordinary man on earth explain how he helped organize the murder of millions. He was not a monster. He was not a fanatic. He was a man who had stopped thinking. Arendt will tell me that evil is not hatred. It is the absence of thought. And she will ask me a question I cannot answer. Can a system that processes without thinking process anything, say, including evil?